the proposal, the proposal here, Custom Fishing and Fishermen, is proposing that they conduct an inventory of gillnet depth by October of next year, at which time they will then propose a maximum depth regulation with an effective date of January 1978. And in the meantime, existing depth regulation would be repealed by their proposal. A matter of concern to us is that if many deep nets were purchased this year and included in their inventory this summer, an unreasonable depth of gillnets could occur. Again, it was never the intent of the staff to penalize a large number of fishermen, just to stabilize the fishery at the 75 level. On one hand, I think maybe we could support a year's delay in the implementation of this, but I don't believe we would ought to support the repeal of the gillnet depth as in the regulations.
Session?
I want to hear what Jeff has.
Mr. Chairman, the way this proposal is worded right now, I just don't think it would be acceptable to have this business about an inventory right here in the regulations, because it's not clear what the procedure would be. We'd make the determination what effect the inventory would have. So I think that if you, in fact, want to delay the implementation of this standardization of gillnet specifications, that ought to just be an expression of the intent of the board and have that go along with whatever, adopting whatever the regulation wants, rather than including this business about an inventory right in the regulation. So.
Ron, as far as the present requirements for 45 and 30 meshes, is that, do you and most people feel that that's a practical depth? I mean, it's not going to drastically curtail anybody's efficiency on these? Or?
Mr. Chairman, we have had very little input regarding the 45 meshes for chum gear, so I take it that that's pretty reasonable. And the one that seems to be the most controversial out there is the king nets. And we have never, conducted an actual inventory of the fishery ourselves, but we have, all last year during the fall meetings, we did solicit opinions. And, from here on out, it's a value judgment, and apparently some fishermen do have deeper nets, deeper king nets. How many? We don't know. I just recall, just before coming down to the board meeting, I got a call from Minneapolis, from one of the buyers, that had an order for 20 king nets, 45 inches deep. He wanted to know what, should he go ahead and plate fill these orders, or what was there a proposal before the board? And I told him that there was, and he better wait until after this board meeting.
Now the length of the nets they fish is only 50 fathoms.
That's right.
Well, I just don't understand. I mean, a 50 fathom net is a pretty short net compared to other areas that fish in 150 and everything else. I just don't understand what the problem is. But even if they have deeper nets, why they can't cut them down and rehang them?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, well, I'd estimate 50 fathom net to cut it down and rehang it would, even if you were slow, maybe take 6 hours. I don't really see the problem either. That's a pretty simple operation, just to go through and knock off certain amount of meshes and rehang the lead line. You don't even have to touch the cork line. It's a simple operation.
Well, they explained it during the public hearing. You didn't have room to do it.
Yeah, but I mean, in the springtime, I mean, it can do it outside and everything, because the season doesn't start for what, June or something?
Right.
And I mean, they do have weather in the springtime that that they can work outside, but, I mean, they do have to overhaul their nets and everything anyway, don't they?
Right, there is a period of time that's for them to work on boats and outboard motors and everything else. Sometimes you get a late spring and things go rough.
But I mean, rehanging a gill net, you can do that in a 6x6 space. I mean, you can do that in the corner of your living room or something, you know, if you have to, but you know, the way you rehang gill nets, but you don't have to stretch it out. You keep it bunched up.
Yes, I've sat netted for many years, and this is a set net operation. I don't know of any experienced set netter that would use a net that was cut off and rehung like that. It just creates too much tangle. That web falls off there. It's a mess.
It what?
You get your nets hung in factory size so you don't have a roll of knots hanging somewhere in there where it tumbles down in front of them. No experienced set netter would use a hand cut off net.
Yeah, well, Mr. Chairman, I guess we're kind of had refunctions or something. We do it all the time. Never had any problems at all with it. It's true the salvage isn't strong there, but these like hanging twine and stuff, we never seem to have much problems with it. I can see where your net itself would be a little weaker on the lead line after cutting it down. And if you were fishing a river, I would suppose you have more of a snag problem than different things, but it certainly is an insurmountable problem.
Yeah, well, you're usually going to sew another salvage on the thing anyway, you know.
Yeah, so, well, that's where your problem comes in, those knots. Now, a set net is different than a rift net. It's all
well, I know
a different
set
problem.
Net too.
Further discussion? Larry, you wish to extend the time?
One last comment, Mr. Chairman. I think a year is a reasonable time myself. You know, how much further beyond that you go, it kind of gets academic. I suppose you can go whatever. There's always be somebody that you aren't handy or inconvenient to. But, you know, throughout the rest of the state, I realize the problems of communication along the logistics here, but we usually try to figure a year is a reasonable time to get geared up or something.
Okay, no further discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to throw in that if you don't give them an extension, that then we will have to obviously probably have to have an enforcement program on nets being over depth, which is easy to do. There's no problem. The problems that it might cause because we'll be seizing these nets and these people don't seem to be fishermen like the rest of you in the sense that they don't seem to know how to count the depth of their net, and which is obvious they don't know how to hang it either. So they just they get a hold of a net and put it in the water. It's about what they do. Like Jim said, I think it would take about 6 hours probably to cut a net off and get it to the required depth, but they don't seem to know how to do that.
Mr. Chairman, Frank touched on the point that I was going to mention here. This one-year warning in almost any other fishery in the state certainly would have been adequate. And to anybody who is accustomed to working with nets, this would not constitute a problem. But out in that area, these people have not been organized, there's still a great deal that they are learning, and I see a problem down the road here, especially in connection with the difficulties that enforcement has faced there this last year, which was touched on, I think, in the joint meeting. And uh, I am very reluctant to say much here because I feel that the staff there is highly knowledgeable in relation to this problem, and I sort of wonder if the trepidations on the part of the local staff, which I sense, are fully appreciated by all the board members. I see a problem there. Paul Guy testified to the fact that, just like Frank said, these people are not fishermen. They're not accustomed to working with nets. They buy a net and put it in the water. And they're still in the process of evolving into the type of fisherman who will hang this net up in his living room and in 6 hours turn it into something completely different. They just don't do it.
Chairman, maybe your permission, possible recommendation as to how you might solve this. On the one hand, there appears to be a good reason for trying to formalize these gear sizes during this next year. But on the other hand, it does appear that there are going to be some practical problems that may come up in the enforcement efforts that may cause this. There may be some considerable number of inadvertent violations by these people because of their lack of familiarity with what is actually going on. And I think it might be appropriate for the board, if they do decide to have this program go into effect in 77, to formally make an expression of their own policy with respect to enforcement, that any enforcement effort recognize the difficulties involved here, and that in any prosecutions that result from violations, that the protection division could bring that back to the court's attention, that there is this problem that the board recognized and it didn't expect that enforcement efforts would be, extremely onerous or whatever. Frank may want to elaborate on that because he's more familiar with those procedures.
Right.
I think what Jeff was saying is that kind of a direction from the board to the protection division that they used go rather lightly, and if citations are issued and to the courts that this is kind of an allowance type thing, that we want the depth but we won't go too hard the first season.
Yes, be consistent with my hard and fast lines of flexibility there. I feel that the real answer to this would be if there's no biological problem there, with Mike there and the guys on the Yukon, it's a case they're not really worrying about wiping out the runs. Evidently, they have a hard time keeping a handle on everything anyway, but there's really not a concern as to the efficiency of this gear. I would be more amenable to just giving them another year. That'd be a lot simpler than putting the burden on Frank is to try to make determination whether it's half right or gray or white or black. So I'll back off on this and give another year myself.
Wish to amend this to just in we have proposed in the proposal it is to give an extension, but it also gives repeals all these other.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Well, I don't mind the other year thing, but I mean, when are we going to stop? Next year will be another year and everything else, and I recognize, the problems and everything else, but, I think until we actually draw a line and say this is it, I just wonder how much action we're going to get on the thing, And until we, stand firm on something. Now, they still have 6 months before the season starts. And it seems like, with their Fishermen's Association or with their village corporation or whatever, you would think that they could, get somebody to come in with a little gear expertise and, just run everybody through the motions of counting the meshes and cutting them off and rehanging and everything. And, really going to accomplish anything. And I don't know, Frank, do you give, like, can you just give warnings or something instead of citations, or is that really compromising your enforcement ethics here?
Mr. Chairman, we can go under the direction if that's what the board, yes, we can give warnings and this sort of thing. If you put the regulation in, hopefully a certain percentage of the fishermen would comply with your new regulation. I don't know if it would be everyone wouldn't do it. So there you'd only have the few that didn't do it. Just bringing up, there is a fellow in Juneau, Gilnetter. All I remember his name, Jim, is John, I think. And he does go around the state, for the state, teaching this very thing. And I thought, man, to mind, maybe we could get him up into that area.
Well, that was Jack Doyle that used to do that with Seagrant. I think he's got a different job now, but he was involved in that, yes.
Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I only have one problem with that idea. In a way, it's kind of a reward to people who don't want to bother or take the time to comply with the law. Obviously, a deeper net is a little more fishy. Taking a deep hole, say, or something, and you're creating a situation where you're just going to give warnings to people that don't comply with the law, and people that do would be a direct disadvantage competition-wise. I think, of course, that yours pretty well standardized. My reasoning behind extending it a year is that a year is a pretty well standardized time throughout the rest of the state. Now, the management man and the protection people and Dean have expressed to me that it's a unique situation in the Arctic Yukon Kuskokwim area as far as being able to get communication out to these people and get them to understand what's going on. So I've just more or less set as a standard that in this area, because it is unique, that maybe they need double the time. I don't see where you can go beyond that, but I think that satisfies a pretty liberal approach to it. That was my line of reasoning.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I've talked to Doyle about that area over there. He says he's been doing some educational work in that area, so I would suggest this regulation be brought to his attention.
I'd like to ask Carl there, what kind of contact do you have with Doyle and the Sea Grant program? I mean, how could the board use its influence to get Sea Grant to go in there and have a little gear workshop or whatever?
Mr. Chairman, I've got quite a bit of contact with Doyle along the way, and certainly we can try to get something set up there to the board. Some of the time, we draft a letter to Doyle, to the board signature on this, get a letter off to him requesting that they give some attention to that.
Rod?
Mr. Chairman, as I mentioned earlier, the staff can support a year's delay on this, especially if we hold the line on the present regulations. Because we have not conducted an inventory. The people did not respond. We assumed that maybe that's a correct assumption, that these mesh sizes, when they were mesh depths at 719 last year, we assumed that most of the fishermen had gill nets that were shallower than these depths. Right now, it's their word against no information from calling the staff. So I would be, I think there's a possibility we could get together with Frank Sharp and his boys and conduct not only an education program, but an actual inventory of the nets that are being used in the I can fully support that. But I think from the staff's viewpoint, we must hold the lines because we don't want a bunch of nets being seeded in the river next year that are much deeper than these nets just to get around the regulation. That's going to be a difficult problem to ascertain, and I think along with this so-called inventory, we must try to determine how old the net is when it's free.
Yeah, well, I'm not really hung up on giving it another year's extension, but I would like to see this gear workshop get off the ground this spring so that we aren't faced with this thing again. And, I'd like to see if Doyle can get something going this spring to get these guys, going and, as to how to count their the meshes in their gear and, you know, how to rehang and everything else, and so that we actually get them going now instead of waiting another year before they even get started again.
Further discussion on 14? Nick?
Yeah, well, I'd like to, I don't know, this, I'm not hung up on number these proposals as written. I would like to submit a proposal that reads 5AAC331. D2. I'm trying to follow this. They don't have any. Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Can I take a crack at it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I got it, bro. Okay. Okay. D. 2. After January 1st, 1978, the maximum depth of gill nets is as follows.
Well,
I think we should include A and B.
Oh, well, and include paragraph A, which says, gill nets with 6-inch mesh or smaller may not be more than 45 meshes in depth, and B, gill nets with greater than 6-inch mesh may not be more than 30 inches in depth.
You're amending 14 to this language?
Yeah. All it does is just delay the present regulation another year.
Second is?
A second.
Discussion? Not all those in favor of this motion to amend, raise your right hand. Opposed? Amendments adopted. Further discussion on 14 as amended? If not, all those in favor of this motion, raise your right hand. Opposed? 14 is adopted as amended.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, go ahead.
Well, now we're going to get a letter off to Doyle or Carl, or does that take board action, or can we just instruct you to do that, or what?
Chairman, I have Mildred is here, and we'll prepare a letter to Doyle. I assume the commissioner can sign with the board here on this, indicating that the board has requested that a gear workshop be set up over there for the spring.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I should point out that there is another companion regulation that involves the maximum depth of subsistence gill nets. And this wasn't covered in their proposal. Their proposal was only in the commercial section. And on page 11 of the regulations, there is another section that states the same thing, maximum depth of gill nets after June 1, 1977. And this is under subsistence fishing for the custom thing. So here we have, on the one hand, we have a commercial net delay of 1 year, so that in just a few days, the subsistence nets will be come under these depth regulations. I want to point that out because without a proposal about the only way to handle this possibly to comply with that, I suggest the board attempt would be to write a branching regulation.
Discussion on this problem? Nick?
Yeah, Ron, you say there's no companion proposal that on the subsistence net?
That's right.
No. What a section of the book is it in?
It's on page 11. The upper right hand corner, number 5.
Oh, I see. Yeah, it's under the subsistence. how long is an emergency regulation effective?
120 days.
Sure. And then can you renew it for another 120, or that's it?
No. Mr. Chairman, no, it's good for 120-day shot on this.
It would take care of all next year's fishing season if it was implemented June 1, for example.
Oh. Or we could do it at the spring meeting or something, too.
Well?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, we could approach this in the same manner that we were discussing the other day. We could adopt an emergency reg doing this, and then the board could adopt that permanent reg, I guess, at the spring meeting.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Chairman, I wish, I'm sure you'll want to check this with Jeff, but just a quick look at the legal announcement, it would seem to me that there's a chance you might be able to consider it this time, because it states here under the heading commercial and subsistence fishing, delay implementation of gill net depth restrictions in the Cusco County District and change the depth restrictions.
Is that in the published notice?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I believe under that broad legal notice, I believe the board could take action on that.
We'd have to reconsider and just add some assistance to that.
Well,
we've done already.
Well, I'd just like to submit proposal 14A. I don't have to reconsider it. 14A would read, Carl, that's under 3990, then?
990 is restrictions.
That's correct.
Oh, yes.
Under 5AAC 3990 restrictions. Under F5, I guess.
Yes.
F5. Amend F5 to read the maximum depth of gill nets after January 1st, 1978 is as follows. A, gill nets with 6-inch or smaller mesh may not be 45 meshes in depth. B, gill nets with greater than 6-inch mesh may not be 30 meshes in depth. May not be more than 30 meshes in depth.
Okay. Is there a second? Discussion? Not all those in favor of this motion to adopt? Raise your right hand. Opposed? Are you opposed to it? Okay.
I am, but not obviously.
Okay. Motion to adopt.
Proposal 15. 5AAC 03332, fish oil specifications and operation. A, new section specify that fish oil baskets must be stocked and rotating during closed periods in the already two-pound test equipment area.
Do we have a motion on this one?
Motion to adopt.
Second? Discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
This proposal, if adopted, will need an amendment. Yeah, get that into the record.
Yeah, go ahead.
Fish wheel specifications and operation. Fish wheel baskets must be stopped from rotating in the water during periods closed to commercial and subsistence fishing. This proposal merely
clarifies the intent and wording of the existing regulations, and will facilitate enforcement in that.
Further discussion? If not, all those in favor of this motion to adopt, please raise your right hand. Opposed? Objected?
Good one.
What you just done?
Well, I asked for a comment and I didn't get it. Okay. You wish to discuss this further?
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
I don't wish to discuss it further. I just, 15, you said to adopt, if we adopt this, why it puts it in that they gotta stop the baskets, and I was going to vote, you know, for this.
Okay. That's all right, okay, we'll slow down then.
Try again. So we bring up reconsideration there?
Well,
I voted for it.
Yeah, okay. All right, we'll vote over again.
I move we bring 15 up for reconsideration.
Okay. One second. All those in favor of this motion, raise your right hand.
15 before you.
Okay. Sam?
Don't we have to make amendment to adopt his amendment?
Whatever you want to do. Any further discussion?
I make a motion that we adopt his redemption's amendment.
I second motion.
Will you state the amendment before we go on?
Fish wheel specifications and operation. Fish wheel baskets must be stopped from rotating in the water during periods closed to commercial and subsistence fishing.
Okay. Further discussion on this amendment? If not, all those in favor of this amendment, raise your right hand. Opposed? All those in favor of 15 as amended, raise your right hand. 15 adopted as amended. We'll have a 5-minute break.
Yeah.
Proposal number 16, 5AEC 03350, closed waters A1. Place an eastern boundary near the Noatak River in Baldwin Peninsula and Kotzebue District.
Move for adoption.
We have a second?
Second.
Recommends that this proposal be amended. Due to several circumstances, we had insufficient public input at the time this proposal was submitted, and the proposal was submitted in present form just to be sure that it got before the board for consideration. Fishing effort has increased tremendously in the Kotzebue District in recent years. It's gone from 82 gillnet licenses in 1970 to 275 in 1975. In Kotzebue, each commercial fisherman may fish up to 3 shackles, 150 fathoms a year. And a western boundary has been in effect in the Kotzebue District for several seasons to prevent interception of stocks bound for other areas of Kotzebue Sound, such as Deering. However, we've had no eastern boundary to protect the river stocks. Our aerial surveys have indicated that we have fairly intense fishing effort at the mouth of Hotha Millet. You may wish to point that out.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right there at the mouth of Hotha. But we've had, again, the aerial surveys this past summer show that we had a maximum of only 13 nets right within the inlet proper during any one time in August. And all these nets were west of the Little Noatak School. Public comments have indicated that there's virtually no effort east of the Little Noatak at the present time, but there are 2 to 3 subsistence camps near Theodore Creek. And it appears that the public proposal is designed to accommodate these few subsistence camps should the owners decide to use them for commercial salmon fishing purposes at some later date. The staff recommends an amendment which would provide for a north-south boundary line at about 161 degrees 59 minutes north and 67 degrees 2 minutes west longitude. This north-south line would be an easier one for the party potential fishermen to locate, and it would also allow present legitimate commercial salmon fishing to continue within the inlet, but it would more adequately protect the vulnerable Kobuk River stocks.
We have this motion before us. Is there, does anyone wish to amend this to amend this proposal?
Do we have to, what about the other line, Fritz? They also propose to not only the new line, but the northern line on the outside there. They wanted to move that from one point off. I think they said there was a graveyard or something there. And I think he wanted to move to another point, just opposite about 200 yards.
Mr. Chairman, at the public meeting that I attended, there were some comments that originally, that was 3, 4, 5 years ago, they didn't really set a date on, that the original boundary, western boundary, had been at the western edge of this Akula Lagoon. At present, the way the regulation reads, the way that has been for the last 3 or 4 seasons, the boundary is at the eastern edge of this lagoon, a distance of maybe 4 to 5 miles across the entire lagoon. There's one grave on the eastern boundary at the present boundary line, and this has been the almost an accepted, I guess. It's a recognizable landmark that they have been using for a boundary.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Didn't they want to, according to Elmer Armstrong here, they wanted to move that marker off that and over to north, just a couple hundred yards, to another landmark or a tree or something.
Yes, they expressed a desire to have a permanent marker place there. I had understood also that there was some misunderstanding about where the actual western boundary should be there. But they did express a desire to have a permanent marker placed there, and I told them at the time that we'd be more than amenable to their idea.
Yeah.
We need a motion to adopt this.
We have a motion to adopt this the way it is, and the staff has suggested an amendment. Do you wish to go along with their recommendations, or do you wish
to the way it is? I'd like to also amend it to read moving the north line, the outer line, from the existing marker at the grave out over to where they proposed in their petition.
Jeff should get involved in this one, but Jeff, you might want to check the legal notice, but the legal notice says closed waters east of Baldwin Peninsula in the Casper District. I think that means cinches it up, but this doesn't commending the western town.
Say, Ron, do you have a transparency or a map showing the existing boundaries, the proposed boundaries, and your amended boundaries, or so forth? So I'm getting kind of confused as to where all these lines are.
16A, I think, and there's some.
Baldwin Peninsula. This is a NOAA river, and this is a Kobuk river. And right now there is only a western boundary, and it says it's from Cape, what's the name of the Cape, Chris?
Blossom.
Cape Blossom.
Cape Blossom.
To a marker approximately 1 1/4 mile from the southeastern tip of the Kulik Lagoon. And that's the only boundary at present time. There is no eastern boundary, and the reason that there isn't, because originally when we set up the regulations for Kotzebue, we did not believe that there would be any, there was, at one time, there was no traditional commercial salmon fishing, or any salmon effort in this area. And we also thought the waters were too shallow to fish. But with the increase in gear and relatively small area, gill nets in recent years have moved into this area. The Noatak River stock of salmon is twice the size of the Kobuk River stock, which also has a pretty extensive subsistence fishery. So there is need to give this run more protection than the Noatak run. And with the potential for the fishery to keep leapfrogging, we feel there must be an eastern boundary. And this is a proposal before you.
Ron, would you draw in the three proposals?
This was the original staff proposal, and roughly, this was the testimony by Mr. Armstrong. And we're proposing a compromise one bought in this area. Based on conversations with Mr. Armstrong, and based on input that Fritz had a meeting up there just a week ago, that we know of no commercial salmon fishermen in this area. There is some subsistence camps, but in fact, most of the commercial effort is about here. This is sort of a gray area. We don't know too much about this area. We would have to, I think we'd regard this as a temporary line until we did some actual observations, more observations last year, flying the area, seeing just what the distribution of nets are.
Yeah, okay. Now, how does their proposed western boundary differ from the existing western boundary?
As I understand it, it's a matter of a couple hundred yards. They didn't want to use putting a marker next to a, or actually using a stand-up grave as the boundary.
There's a grave site there, and a fair amount of protection officer, they put in the marker there this year and did use the grave site itself. But there has been a marker in there some years there, and not, and that's really what they'd like, just a permanent marker. Rather than
Chairman, we need to accommodate this because the wording that establishes marker says approximately 1 1/4 mile away from this lagoon area, and so we can move that without any problem.
Do we have language to establish where this line is?
Yes, Mr. Chair. We would, in the proposed regulation, we would delete and the east of the line from marker place near the Noatak River at approximately 66 degrees, 59 minutes north latitude, 162 degrees, 28 minutes west longitude, to a marker placed at the northwestern tip of Baldwin Peninsula at approximately 66 degrees, 57 minutes north latitude, 162 degrees, 29 minutes west longitude, with, and the east of the line from a marker placed at approximately 161 degrees, 59 minutes north latitude,
67 degrees 2 minutes west longitude to a marker placed on the northern shore of Baldwin Peninsula. I'll have to spell this one for you. I can't pronounce it. SIGIGRACHAK3.
You all heard the amendment? Do we have a second to this amendment?
I'll second.
Discussion on the amendment? Not all those in favor of this motion to amend, raise your right hand. Opposed? Any further discussion on 16 as amended? Not all those in favor of this motion to adopt, raise your right hand.